condolences to the Department of Police and the families of the three police officers who again died at Engcobo. This actually means within a period of less than 2 weeks, in the same place, we lost 8 police officers. At least this one was not on the hands or in the hands of criminals. It was an accident, which I think I will agree with some of the members. It doesn't fall on our jurisdiction, but we should accept that the high rate of fatalities on our roads is a matter of concern. And that will require to be attended to quite urgently. Last week we saw the budget. I'm sure members will appease the working, especially for the sector where we are, to look at the budget. What does it mean for the sector, the area where we are? And down the line, when we deal with the department, I'm sure we'll be able to express ourselves with regards to the budget. Without any further delay, are there any apologies?
Good morning, honorable members and the guests. I've got apology from Ms. Mafolo and Advocate Schmidt. Thank you.
Honorable Masala.
Chair, sorry, thank you. I've got an appointment with the doctor at 11 o'clock. I'm not feeling well, so I must consult. I don't have to sacrifice my life here. My life comes first. Thank you very much.
You know, sometimes you look at the age of the person and ask at that age why that person would fear death. you know, when there's something called in other areas, it's a grace period. Some people are already on grace period, but they still want full time. We are all dependent on you, honorable members. Having had the apologies, can we go then? Where is my agenda now? You know, when people want to sabotage you, they take anything and you may end up find yourself carrying the wrong information. No, boss, I got my... I don't know, someone can even take your agenda so that you don't know what you are dealing with. Honorable members, we are dealing with... there's only one item and then we'll deal with the minutes. We received a letter from the National Union of Mine Workers about a situation that prevailed. I won't read this letter on your behalf. When the time comes, I can give it to you so that you can talk to it. But subsequent to that, we saw that there was industrial action at the Optimum coal mine in Mpumalanga. And the concerning part which made us a committee to say maybe let's deal with this issue was that it was clear that from a distance workers were not guaranteed their employment, they were not guaranteed that they will receive their salaries or wages. There was no certainty about the status of the mine, and listening to the CEO when he had to go and give a feedback, he couldn't guarantee workers whether there was future. No, they were going to be paid, and I think they were supposed to be paid the following day. Then the following day came, they were not paid. Now, as a committee, we will recall the incident that we dealt with, which I'm sure it's a lesson for many to learn from. The Aurora incident, where for months, workers were not paid their wages. Subsequently, the assets were stripped off, mine liquidated, workers received nothing. It ended up in court as a matter of litigation. Well, I was not aware. Honorable Mandela now tells me that what was the demand or settlement or order of the court was that those directors will have to pay 1.2, ne? Maybe NUM will know it much better than us. Now, had we folded our arms, surely we were going to have to account, what did you do for something that you see? And we then invited NUM on the basis of what they've written to us. We wrote to the department to say, can they come and tell us, have they intervened? What is their knowledge or information do they have about the situation? What interventions, if there are any? If there are none, why? We also invited the directors and the CEO of the mine. And I must say, initially, I can read probably now. Initially, they had agreed that they are coming. And subsequently, we were told now the company is under business rescue. And the business rescue practitioner has just been appointed. He has refused anyone to come. But also, he can come because still familiarizing himself. He has just received an appointment, but I think the letter is here. Obviously, I must say the CEO did call me. I just gave him one simple answer. We're a committee of parliament. We take decisions. Consequences for someone who was not there to mitigate are not for this committee. You are not present, we take a decision. If the decision disadvantages you, sorry, because we can't put on hold a matter of this nature. But I did receive, I think on the letter, that they say now workers have been paid. I think all or both mines. But I did state clearly that to us the issue is not whether you paid or you have not paid. The issue is a matter of accountability and certainty. We just want to know what is happening, what guarantees do we have. Subsequently, I did receive a notice from the provincial government of Mpumalanga that this is a matter that affects them, and the MEC said they would like to be here, and if the committee needs any information that you would appreciate to share on what do they understand as the government of Mpumalanga and the implications thereof. So, welcome MEC Kholwane from Mpumalanga. The last time I saw you was almost 2 or so years ago. Is MEC for finance, so that I don't call it wrong?
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. It's MEC for finance. I'm responsible for the PES of the province, economic development and tourism.
Okay. Honorable Lorim.
Mr. Chair, the people who would know what's going on about the mine are Tegeta management, who've just put it into business rescue. Were they asked to attend this meeting?
That's exactly what I said. I represented them very well. They can't dispute that. I said we wrote to the directors of the company and the CEO. The CEO had confirmed that he's coming, and then he sent back and said they have just appointed a business rescue practitioner, and the business rescue practitioner has instructed that they can't come. He also is unable to come. I assume I'm correct when I say he can't come on the basis that he's still just familiarizing himself with the area.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I understood that part. But, so we, aside from that first request to Tegeta, we did not further correspond with him. We did not insist that they come.
No, I'm saying the CEO was coming. The business rescue only indicated today. Having indicated today, they've sent a letter that explains from the business rescue practitioner. So the letter arrives now. Let me make it easier. It is up to you. That's why I said my clear answer was simple. You don't come. It doesn't mean as a committee we can't continue. We will continue as a committee. We will take decisions. If those decisions unfairly affects you, it can't be the fault of this committee. Then that issue, can I make it again simple, is for you, honorable members, when we are dealing with the overall conclusion, to express yourselves to it. You are free. Yeah. You can just switch it off, Honorable Lorima, so that when you breathe, it doesn't go through there. I know you are not speaking. No, relax. We will deal with that issue. I've got my own views, but I'm not going to express them from a chair, only when we deal with the matters. But we did our part. Can we then first, with due respect, in Parliament, we don't do business. We listen, but we're always very conscious of time. Can we give NUM and then the department just in 10 minutes, NUM, let's deal with the substantive issues. What is happening in the mine, in your knowledge? Probably we will consider also to get the views from the Mpumalanga, and then we'll have a discussion. The reason I'm saying this, the MEC, when he phoned me, I don't know whether that's what NUM is going to be sharing and the department, he then said, no, they are not. It's not one mine that is faced this. Maybe it's owners. They don't have one mine. It's almost four, which is a little bit now scary. And again, depending on what we received as information, we will understand whether we we were talking to directors of more than one mine, or a CEO of more than one mine, or a problem that is more than one mine of what we saw. All what I think is important to say is that for now we have been dealing with speculations. We want to get facts so that we can put the matter to rest. So can we give it to NUM? You can introduce your team or yourself.
Good morning, committee. My name is Kudule Mtombeni, the chairperson of Optimum Branch. With me, we are having the Deputy General Secretary, Mr. Mabapa, and I'm having the Secretary of the Branch, Richard Mkuzulu. Yeah, thank you very much for allowing us, chairperson. Let us also thank the committee for receiving our letter and paying attention to what we'll only focus on. We are here to present the facts, and we are not here to misrepresent somebody else. If you will allow us, chairperson, we will be dealing with these issues in me and the secretary, one after the other. So for now, status, I'll allow him to deal with the first 3 points, and I'll be dealing with the last 2 points. Thank you.
Thanks, as the chairperson has said, my name is Richard, branch secretary. We wrote a letter to the committee because we could see that our future is very bleak. For starters, we have seen that since Tegeta took over that mine in 2016, the situation deteriorated severely. The machinery that used to be there is no more maintained. Your PPEs that we use, PPEs, the clothes that we wear when we work, you find sometimes that there are no PPEs at the stores. And we could see that at any time this mine might close. And we were worried that should we keep quiet, then our lives will be negatively affected. I must say that that mine has still got a lot of coal. Its lifespan is 2032. So you can see that there's still a lot that needs to be mined in that mine. By the way it goes now, we can see that it's going to be closed at any time. We have tried on several times to talk to try and talk to management that can you at least give us a guarantee that our jobs are safe? Why? Because after there was an announcement about the Bank of Baroda, which was the only bank that was doing business with Tegeta, there was an announcement that that bank is now moving away from South Africa. We said to and that made us to worry a lot. We said to management, can you come and explain to us what is the plan going forward so that after this bank is gone and then won't be negatively affected? Is there any plan that is there? I must say, committee, we didn't have anything tangible. We couldn't have meetings with management. We were just told that, we couldn't get answers. As I've said, that Bank of Baroda is going away, but we are surprised that this month Bank of Baroda is still there. But we haven't been paid on the date that is scheduled, that we're supposed to be paid on the 23rd. When we ask management why are we not paid, then there was no clear answer. As you might have seen in the national television, that you've said what he said, that business ratio is not sure that we'll be paid the next day and all that. So that made us worry a lot because Bank of Baroda is still there, but we're not paid. But it's better for us, the permanent employees, is better. But the people that are suffering a lot are the creditors, your contractors. Some of them were last paid last October 2017. And that made the employees will suffer a lot because they are not paid. If the owner of the contractor is not paid, then also the employees are not paid. And if they are paid, the contractors' bosses, they will be paid a quarter, or they will be told that we owe you this much, so we want a discount. And that most of those contractors are still contractors that have just started that are needed the support actually from the company, but they have suffered a lot. That some of them you could see that they are now starting to collapse. And should they not be paid, or also that affects us as permanent employees because we are working together, and some of the jobs are done by them. So the mine cannot run smoothly if they are not there. I will leave the point of the sale of the mine to this chairperson. But also there were projects, as I said in the beginning, that there were projects that were started by the former shareholders, that is Glencore. There were clinics that were built. But when Glencore left the company in 2015-16, then those projects were not finished. When the new shareholder took over, then they didn't carry on as they were supposed, because this mine was sold as a going concern. So they were supposed to carry on with those projects, like your community clinic that was started by the former shareholders. So that also perturbed us, that because there was a commitment, there was money that was spent so that this projects can be put in place. Just two weeks ago, a DMR from the regional level visited the company to check the SLP compliance. And after that, it was found that the mine is not complying at all. You've got the employee trust that is enshrined in the social and labor plan that the company was supposed to have adhered to. I'm not here to talk good about Glencore, but the department have identified is that everything came to a standstill in 2016. There were no bursaries that were given to the people, LEDA that the previous owner have committed on, all those things they were not adhered to by the new shareholders. And there's a directive that has been given to the company that will give you a period of about 2 months to come up with a plan and tell us what are you going to do. But that is also making things very difficult, because we can see that there's no way that the company will be able to rectify all the issues that has been identified by DMR. So that is one of the things that we have seen, that there's no way that they can begin to say, no, we're going to do 1, 2, 3. There's no way, because there's a lot that have been identified as non-compliance. So I will leave the other staff to the chairperson to carry on, chairperson.
Yeah, no, thank you. No problem. The committee, let me touch on the item, the sale of the mine. After we've been bought by Tegeta, a lot of things were starting to happen that have opened the eyebrows to say there's no sustainability here. When we approached the management to receive answers, especially on some of the items that were in on our SLP, that's when we were told that in fact the company is intending to sell the company to a Swiss-based Charles King, or King Charles. The letter they presented on the 23rd of September 2017. And that has came after we wanted a clarity on in as far as the ESOPs is concerned. Because let me again brief the committee about this. Before we even knew the new shareholders, the former minister came to the operation and he requested that we should support the new owners and make sure that all the bank facilities are being opened. As desperate as we were, we made sure that we do that, but very cautiously so, because we started asking questions to say, yes, Glencore now leaving selling the company to another company, of which we knew that we are owning 9.93% of shareholding. What is going to happen with those percentages or our shareholding percentage? The former minister then proudly said, no, the company is being bought under Section 197, of which it was an ongoing concern. And he announced that all the shareholders that are there must confirm that our ESOPs and our shareholding, the 9.93% portion of the shareholding, remains intact. Before then, the meeting on the 23rd, we wrote a letter to the regional DMR offices. I personally delivered it to the registrar and attached the very same minister, Msebenzi. I drove to Pretoria and I also hand-delivered the letter. Up until to date, there was no response to that effect. So that has made us now to open the IPROS and check who King Charles is. So it was found that it's a Swiss-based company that specializes on cloth fashions, especially shoes and all those things. So we were so amazed to say, how can a department allow somebody that is not even having a background of that mineral to take over? Up until today, we are not even sure that the King Charles is still there. And we were told again that there was a deposit of 400 million that was deposited even before the company could have done a due diligence to the company. That also raised the eyebrows to say, how dare can one pop out such a money without going to check where he's investing the money to? So we came to a conclusion to say this sale is going to be a fake one. So we, at the stage, went to the department and raised that to the regional manager, which was Aubrey, and he attended to that. Just after we had our last meeting in January, where there was as the secretary has said, there was an order placed. On our last meeting, then Aubrey announced to us that he's being dismissed, of which we cannot go into details what has transpired in his dismissal. Maybe the department will highlight that. That is that in as far as the sale of the mine is concerned. Again, committees is something that has been forwarded to us as a concern. The business rescue practitioner, from the 19th of February, it was announced that the business is being put on rescue. And according to our little knowledge, you'll put the company under business rescue under the following reasons, if maybe the business is under financial distress. So we requested the financials of the company, and we were provided that the company is making a lot of millions. And I can confirm to you that the statement that we got, after 14 months, they've made 2.2 billion since 2016, after we were taken out of business rescue from Glencore. So we were asking ourselves, why are we being put under business rescue, where else the company is performing? So we couldn't get any answer from the business practitioner. He said he's being appointed by the court, and we said we'll leave those that to the lawyers to deal with that, because really it didn't make any sense to us. So in closing, we would like the committee to assist. Our only interest is the job securities, and that's the only reason that we are here. To indicate to the department that we really need your assistance in these trying times. I thank you.
Yeah, I think the chairperson made mention that it is not only Optimum that is affected in the area. We can confirm that, yes, one of the sister companies, Goerenfontein, is also affected, is in that area. The other one that is affected is not in that area, it's in Northwest, is Shiva. And we can confirm that we also received the appointment of the two liquidators, practitioners, that has been appointed by the board of Optimum. So we received the documents while we are here, just this morning, as we enter here. But we also want to highlight to the committee that in the very same area, we also received a Section 189, that 1,722 out of 1,812 employees in Evander Gold Mine, that is also situated in Mpumalanga, it will be on the process of retrenchment. So, and we take it that all this will happen within the area of Mpumalanga, and I will take it that that is where I'm sure the provincial government in Mpumalanga is also briefed of those developments in that area. That is how we are also being briefed from the NUM head office. But we want just to say that this is bringing a lot of pressure from our side as the NUM, because if we can't manage the situations, they will end up having the retrenchments.
Okay. DMR.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable members, organized labor, colleagues, good morning. I'm Mudirati Malapane from the Department of Mineral Resources, and I'm the Acting Chief Director for the Central Regions, which is Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Free State. However, I have joined the team because I sit on the Mineral Petroleum Board Section 52 committee meeting that looks at issues of retrenchments nationally. I'm with my colleagues. The acting regional manager is here with us, and Mrs. Kheto, and we also have Mr. Mahwasani, who also is from the Mine Health and Safety Directorate, and he has also acted as a regional manager in the Mpumalanga office. Chair, I'm going to try and look at what we had prepared on the presentation, but I'm not going to dwell much on it because most of it is just showing the background. And I would like to go into what has been raised to say as a department, what are we aware of. I think the first two slides, the third and the fourth, is just background. But then when we go to page 5, it says that a Section 11 approval was granted authorizing Glencore then to transfer Optimum Coal to Tegeta in April 2016. And of course, we are aware that Tegeta owns four mines in Mpumalanga, which is Optimum, Goerenfontein, Brakfontein, and Idwala. And Optimum has two open cast operations, two underground operations, and two processing plants. And we are also aware of these other operations that they have in other provinces. Unfortunately, for the brief, we were going to talk about that, but we will also take note of any other thing that has to be done because it seems everybody is affected outside Mpumalanga also. Now, as a department, we have a responsibility to monitor compliance with all these mining companies. And as it has already been said, Optimum was issued with a Section 93 order due to non-compliance, especially non-adherence to the commitments made in their social and labor plans. And they were also issued a notice in terms of Section 31L of NEMA, as they failed to adhere to the rehabilitation plan commitments. This resulted in follow-up meetings where Optimum Coal was given an opportunity to respond to the issues raised. At the meeting that was a follow-up of that 93, the department explained that there are processes, administrative processes that have to be followed after a notice has been served. And the department also made the company aware of the expectation that we have from them. And the company indicated that since the Bank of Baroda left the country, it is impossible for them to do business. That was the presentation that was made to say Bank of Baroda has left the country. And the company indicated that they would not be in a position to pay employees' salaries due to the bank issue. However, the department yesterday, the DG, was aware that the employees have been paid. But the question still remains if in the next month they will be paid. And the company further stated that they could not be paid for business supplies to Eskom again due to the bank issue. The mine manager highlighted the following, that the employees were on strike demanding to know the status of their mine. The employees wanted to know if they would be paid come month end of February. And at that meeting, the CEO reported that prior payments were up to date, but we've just learned now that the contractors have not been paid, and we just want to place it on record that in terms of the Act, the contractors are also the employees of Optimum, not necessarily because the department doesn't have any relationship with the contractor. However, the Act says the employees are both the permanent and the contractors, and Section 101 of the Act also says this. Where you use a contractor, then you still have to comply as the mining right holder with all the pieces of legislation. It was also reported that a Section 189 notice of the Labour Relations Act was issued and that they were still in consultation with the interested and affected parties. However, as the department, we have not received a Section 52 notice, and then we were also told that the company is selling the asset. Yesterday, the CFO confirmed that there were presentations that were made to our principals. And before I move into, I can conclude and just try to address that one. It is clear that the issues raised by management is not affecting Optimum Coal alone. Other operations may be affected. It is therefore important for Tegeta to work with all the affected stakeholders in order to remedy the situation. The department remains committed to ensure the security of employment in line with the objectives of the MPRDA. But coming to what has been raised in terms of the issues that we are here, as a department, we also are concerned about what has happened in that area. On Friday last week, we had a meeting of the board. And although it was not on the agenda, we had to talk about the issue of Optimum. To say the bottom line is people are going to lose jobs. And normally, the municipality will inherit these retrenchees. And they will add to the long unemployed queues in those areas. And the chairman of the board said that the Section 52 committee will have to sit. It's now called MSEC. My apologies about that, and they will have to sit and talk about this issue. But then, when the CEO came, they reported that they have submitted a Section 52. As a department, we have not seen the Section 52, and we were given marching orders to say to them, they must still submit it. But that doesn't mean that we should sit back and fold our arms, because as the officials of the department, we are very much aware that people are going to lose their jobs. On the issues of safety, if Mr. Mahwasani will talk to that, but on the issues also of salaries, we were also of the opinion that the Department of Labor should come through, because what has happened in the past, companies have a tendency of not complying with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And as we go in as the Department of Mineral Resources, although we might see the non-compliance, we will deal with all non-compliance. And as we deal with these issues, we invite our sister departments so that all those episodes, because if salaries are not being paid, we can only say comply, But I think if the Department of Labor is on board also, they will be able to assist us. On the issue of the social and labor plan, that is why a Section 93 was issued, because those commitments, and when Tegeta bought this, they were very much aware that they still have to continue with it. We will continue to follow on that 93. And on the issue of the sale of the mine, it is I don't think we should allow any sale to be done irresponsibly. We have to look at whether it's going to be sustainable or not. And now that the business rescue practitioner has been appointed, we have had a situation where we worked with business rescue practitioners. And Chair, I'm comforted by the fact that you're saying decisions will be taken and they will be binding, because normally that process becomes too long, such that by the time we are trying to save, we don't know what is it that we are saving. We might have saved the business, but the bottom line is the people might have lost their jobs. And as a department, we are here to make sure that whatever needs to be done, we will still follow what needs to be done, but we also need to be guided by the House. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not so sure if Mr. Mahasan wants to say anything about the maintenance of the mine, because safety is of importance for the department. Do you want? Okay, thanks.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, Honourable Member. My name is Ndivu. I'm the National Director of Mine Survey, and I'm an ex-mine worker. Look, I've known Optimum for quite a long time, and I have confidence when the comrade is saying that as far as operations is concerned, Optimum does not have that much challenge that is different from any other mine. When we do our normal routine inspection, we would give you a Section 55 and Section 54, but then it is not something that is out of ordinary. But maybe to add on something that was never asked, operationally, if you look at the Optimum complex, including Kroonfontein, compared to all the mines in the area, I would say it is one of the mines that are very viable. So then when we talk business rescue, and we're looking at a mine that operationally does not have challenge, it's got reserves that can sustain the mine for another 15 years, and then that business is now put on rescue, and now I'm starting to talk as a mineral resources practitioner. I used to be a mine planner. So if these people are coming in to say, if you give this business to a business practitioner, other than giving it to a hands that can actually operate the mine, what are we trying to achieve? Because to me, when you look at this whole thing, it doesn't look like the problem is money, but banking facility. When you bring in a business, a practitioner like that, are you trying to use their banking facility, or what kind of expertise are you trying to bring? Because our experiences with a business practitioner going to Lily Mine and all that, I can tell you right now that is going to be prolonged. And by the time you try to save that business, there will be very little or nothing to save. Because if the mine is not operational, we know. Underground, if you're not working for a month and you go back, the machinery and all sort of things and the maintenance, and that is going to deteriorate. So now, if these people are not coming here to tell us what they're planning, I'm just afraid, Chair, that by the time that we intervene, my experience with underground mining, if you're not there for a month, for a week, you're not maintaining those machineries, this comrade will attest that it's going to start falling apart. Thanks.
Okay. Don't worry, Acting Chief Director. We don't take binding, decisions in vacuum. Our decisions are enforced. We don't need someone to to agree with it or not. We take decisions. If they have to be enforced, they will be enforced. Let me do the KTC and give the MEC so that whatever we deal with as a committee, we've got a holistic understanding of what type of an animal are we dealing with here. Babu Kholwan.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members, everyone who's here, and a comrade from NUM. Probably, Chair, I might not assist in solving your headache, but maybe to add more, because it's the headache which we have as a provincial government. I'm sure towards the closing remarks, in terms of the retrenchment and these workers losing their jobs, it becomes the responsibility of the provincial government, because it adds up on our unemployment rate and all other related social problems which come with it and so on. But Chair, I must say that on the mines which have been mentioned, the only one which is remaining is Brakfontein, which is in Delmas, which is also under the same stable, the same problem. I must agree that one critical issue, Chair, is that on our engagement is that there is no problem with the operation of the mines. The problem is the banking facility. Because remember that all the banks, whatever happened in the past, they all withdraw their facilities with the owners and so on. Now, then they find themselves seemingly in between that they can't transact and do all sorts of things, and that creates a lot of problems. That's what they've presented in a nutshell from ourselves as we're trying to engage. But as you know, Chair, that as a provincial government, we don't have any legal responsibility in terms of the mines, except that we get the worst when everything has fallen apart in terms of the social ills and unemployment that comes with all the processes which are managed by the Department of Mineral Resources at the national level and so on. So my take, Chair, I think the last presentation has come close by the Chief Director, came close to the real issue of the banking facility. That I was looking at the presentation from DMR, I thought that it's going to talk to the actual issues which affect, which is at hand and so on. So that probably it's not a matter that falls within DMR to resolve that. We don't waste time. We get the necessary departments or authorities which can deal with the actual problem of banking facilities, because you can't run a business if you don't have a banking facilities, and then the rest other things probably might follow. Thanks very much.
Okay.
What if I decide to close this meeting even before you raise your hands? I'm joking. Look, I think let's appreciate the information that we have received. I must say, I completely did not understand what is the issue. But as I was trying to understand what is the issue, it seems to be a huge albatross that was completely unanticipated. Maybe other members were aware. It's a little bit shaking when you listen to it. But because there are many brains here, that the people of South Africa voluntarily decided that they will give them the task. Honorable Lorima, any other, don't want to say clever hand, any other hand? There's only one. Honorable Mandela? Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. There are a lot of issues here. For my first round, just to get some clarity on various things, if I could address, I think, most of my questions to the NUM, just for purposes of getting me to understand it.
Sorry, good Honorable Lorima, for the sake of convenience, we prefer that you take these questions in writing, and then you answer them. we will still give honorable members a chance to make follow-ups in case there are gaps or there are unanswered questions. Okay, continue, honorable.
Thank you. So just in terms of dates, I'm quite interested in the whole timeline of this. You said it was apparent quite early on after Tegeta took over the mine that stopped spending on machinery maintenance, protective clothing, etc. Could you tell me, when did you first draw this to the attention of the department? Because I think that's quite important to know. The second lot of questions really relates to the current situation. So can you confirm that people have been paid now for February? Have they been paid full amounts? I'm talking about the workers. Sorry, you have to wait till the end. Not my system, his system. How many workers are we talking about? And could you also give us how many workers are NUM members and if there are other workers who are not NUM members, just how many of those there are as well? I'd like to know more about the clinic, and this is perhaps a question for DMR, but maybe you wanted to address it. I mean, I became aware of the clinic having stopped operating. That project seemed to have ground to a halt. I asked a written question to the DMR, and the DMR said, and this was quite a long time ago, unfortunately I don't have the question with me, but they said, no, the clinic project was halted because of a legal dispute. You may want to comment on that. When then Minister Zwane came to the mine and asked workers to support the sale to King Charles, I'd like to know when that was, and more or less, who from the DMR was accompanied him. You then talked about a letter when the NUM became worried, and you wrote to the DMR and you went to hand deliver that letter. Could you tell us when that was? And I'd also like to know who you delivered it to at the DMR. You said there was no follow-up. You're talking about Optimum and Quinfontein. They're both treated one as the same here, more or less, am I correct? Is there not an issue at Brakfontein at all? If you could address that too. I think I'm going to stop there for now, Mr. Chair.
Anyway, I see you. Don't worry, leave with other committee matters. The chairperson will never have a procedure of his own. But continue.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Yes, indeed, the employees have been paid starting yesterday up until now. I'm only talking about the permanent employees. Remember, in this whole thing, there's also contractor employees. But the permanent employees, the one that we are cocksure of, have been paid yesterday. Starting yesterday up until today, the permanent employees have got about 522. Out of that 522, the last time I checked, NUM had about 416 members. So it's almost it's NUM. About the Hendrina Clinic. We've been directly involved the reaction who has been building this clinic. At some stage, the lady came to us and said, I could have handed the clinic in 2016 to the community so that it can be used. But my problem is that the CEO, Mr. George van der Merwe, has been playing hide and seek. He doesn't want to pay. He says he must first finish the clinic so that he can. Then he's gonna pay him. The last time I checked with the lady is that the company still owes the builder about 900,000. So it's a small margin. And the clinic together was supposed to pay about 4 million or so. So that was the problem, that they didn't want to pay the lady that was building the clinic. When Mr. Zwane came to the mine, it was after Tigeta took the ownership from Glencore. So he said to us, we need to support Tigeta going forward. Hence the questions were, is everything going to be in place? So he confirmed to the employees that everything that is in the SLP will go on as this company has been bought under Section 197. So that's what he told us. You also asked that who was accompanying him. Those that I can remember, I think it was Mr. Joel Rapela, the regional manager, Aubrey, was also those are the ones that I can still remember vividly. But it was a very big team that was with him. Is there no problem at Braxfontein? We're not aware of any other problems, but what we are aware of is that if we are not paid, we are also not getting paid. But we, us in Kroonfontein, we come a long way together because we're under BEXA and under the consortium, you might take a consortium. So our issues are almost similar to each other. So we quite and we are nearby, so would know if there's a problem at Optimum, they would know. If there's a problem at Kroonfontein, they would know. So we know that there are problems. Which one?
Chairperson, I don't have a copy now of the letter that I submitted personally to the regional manager and the office of the minister here in Pretoria. The letter I've gave to, when you go inside the offices, they will direct you to the registrar office. Then you'll give them, they sign you off, then you go, there you go.
Sorry, the date of that letter, that hand-delivered one, when was that?
It's around September.
Last year.
2017, September.
Chairperson, can I make this addition? Maybe let us give the background that prior to this mine was owned by Glencore, and then in 2015, it was 2016, Glencore issued Section 189. During the process of the Section 189, when we were dealing with Section 189, it is when then Tigeta was a company that has got a potential to buy the mine. And they did consult with NUM, even from the regional offices to the head office, who were involved. When the Competition Commission wanted to grant Section 11, they consulted us, and we want to be open. At that stage, we were having Section 189, the workers were to be retrenched, and we took the offer that says, if there is an employer that want to employ the workers, as NUM, we can't dispute the fact that we can't assign a document authorizing that as the labor representatives, we accept that Tigeta must buy the mine, and I want to confirm that what the branch committee is saying in terms of the DMR, I was not much aware of the DMR issues, but I'm aware of the fact that also Tigeta came to us and made a presentation, and in making the presentation, we have realized that instead of losing the whole one, it was more than 1,000 employees that were affected. But then they promised that they will still employ more than 500. And by then we were under Section 189. I'm sure the DMR is aware, because Majority of the meeting were held in Pretoria at DMR. There was a lot of issues that we were dealing with, especially when we were dealing with Section 52. But at the end of the day, we have agreed that the main aim was to save the mine. I can recall that Eskom was involved, we were involved, Tlenko was involved, and during that process, Tegeta came as a company that rescued the situation. And we accepted that we will take the offer. So I just wanted to give that background. But one other issue is that when we deal with the issues for now, I've made mention that Koornfontein, obviously Koornfontein, Brakfontein, Shiva, and other mines, they're affected. The unfortunate part here is it is only now that the branch committee of Optimum are the ones that raised issues. But it doesn't mean that there are no issues. I can confirm that by yesterday I was phoned by the Shiva branch and made mention that if you go there at the meeting, you must also raise our issues. I was phoned by the Evander Gold Mine saying that if you go there, you must also raise our issues. So it's not a fact that they are not affected. They are affected. Maybe it is a matter of the approach that the Optimum branch committee had a different approach to manage these issues and the others didn't have an approach or maybe a know-how that they can raise issues with the committee. But they are affected, all of them.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps for me, Honorable Chair, I will limit myself to the presentation that is put before us here. On slide number 6, it talks about Section 93 order, which talks to non-compliance of Optimum. I'd like to know, in terms of the department, what measures have they undertaken to deal with that and ensure that Optimum Coal Mine is held to task on meeting its compliance. Secondly, Chair, I would like to also understand what measures are being taken to avoid the disaster that is looming for mine workers and their families. What initiatives is being taken by the owners and management, particularly the CEO, to find a solution to avert this looming disaster? Has anything been communicated both to NUM and part of the laborers or to DMR as the accounting officers? What institutional mechanism is being put in place to gather an accurate assessment of the crisis that is lingering, and what mitigation interventions are being made? And lastly, Chair, for this round, I would want to ascertain how has the Department of Mineral Resources played its oversight role to ensure compliance? And has it assessed what interventions can be made to turn around the disastrous situation at Optimum Coal Mine? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I want to start with the very first one of the Section 93. When the officials of the department went to do compliance monitoring, they found non-compliance and they issued the Section 93. The purpose of the Section 93 was to say to the company, they have to come with measures to remedy the situation. And as it was recently issued, the company had to come through with an action plan. And when they came, I think it was last week,
The only issue that they did not necessarily come to present their plan. They only wanted to come and also tell us more about their challenges. So the department will still engage with the company to say what measures are they going to put in place, because the 93 says you give them an opportunity to put that in place, failing which you might have to stop them, suspend them, and before they give you the plan. But currently where we are, that's a process that we'll have to hear from the company, and we will also have to work with the unions. And I have to say here already that I became a bit worried when the NUM was presenting. I also pick up a form of non-compliance, because NUM finds itself in a position where they have to be going asking the company what's going on, whereas in terms of the right that we have given them, they have to have what we call a future forum, and that's a sitting of both management and the organized labor. And the purpose is to talk about the productivity and profitability issues. So we no longer have a situation whereby it's only management that's running the show, and later the workers are found wanting or asking questions. We expect the workers to be on par in terms of the finances. We expect the workers to be on par in terms of how can we solve our problems as the union and that. And that's something that social plan directive will always say, make sure that, and we will also make sure that the future forum is functional going forward. And in terms of communicating what is happening at the company, when the CEO came, they said they have submitted a Section 52, but nobody knows, because they said it went to them. We spoke about this on Friday. They said they have submitted it to the minister. Now, what happened is, in the past, as officials of the department, we will directly deal with these issues. Until there was a court case between Sibanye and NUM, where they said that as officials of the department, we cannot deal with these issues because the Act doesn't talk about the officials. The Act talks about the board. So all the issues of retrenchment, they go to the board. And as the officials of the department, we support the board. So in this case, on Friday, the committee was instructed to call the two companies to come and account. But the committee was saying they don't have a letter. But as a department, we have taken that initiative to say we will tell the company to give us the letter. Even if they are under business rescue, we have a responsibility as a department to make sure that they come and present the facts in order to turn around the situation. So in terms of us turning, how we are going to be looking at this as we support that very committee, having heard what we heard here today, we are able to say, and having even seen where the problem might be, being that all that we need to do is to make sure that they have a bank that they can work with, and we might have to look at other stakeholders who will be able to assist us on that. So basically, Chair, those are the initiatives that we're trying to implement, but it's just unfortunate that we see a union that is not being engaged because of management that is not maybe transformed. And on our side, that is why we issued this notice to ensure that there's compliance.
Oh. Thanks, Chair. I need to point out that as a regional office in Mpumalanga, ordinarily you're going to have a lot of mines. So what we do routine inspections. Unless maybe if comrades like this says, no, there is a problem. Because you're sitting in Witbank, and there could be a problem in Barberton. So when we look at the inspection that we do, you're not necessarily going to one mine like over and over again. You try and cover the whole province. So what we normally do, we do routine. And then if there are problems that are raised from the mine, that's when we follow up. But again, on the Section 93, I just need to add this. There was another problem about the rehabilitation. I see people are not raising that rehabilitation. They say it's not being done. We need to be very upfront to say, last year when I was an acting regional manager, I can then confirm to say I think for Optima, you were sitting at about 1.51 billion rand on your rehabilitation. And the last assessment of the mine, I think their liability was sitting at about 1.2 billion rand. And in Korenfontein, they have about 300 million rand, liability about 100 million, right? That was with the outer case where the mine was frozen. So what I'm trying to indicate is when we're talking today about the business rescue, I'm trying to figure out to say how does this, is it the money problem, is it administration problem? Because now we need to go straight into the problem so that we solve that problem. So that's what I just needed to add, to say we just need to go straight into the problem so that we don't deal it and we go into the problem and say, is it the problem of unwillingness from the company? Is the problem that information is not being shared? Because when the comrades were saying that they actually had to ask for the statement, remember now on your SLP, Future Forum is specifically designed to actually detect a problem before it happens, because these people have to sit in more often to say, we have a problem. So before it gets here, these comrades should have already known, because the Future Forum is specifically designed to do that, to say we are getting into a problem long before it happens. Thanks, Chair.
No, I just wanted to respond in saying we quite are aware that the Future Forum, the issues that are being that we are raising here, are the issues that could have been identified in the Future Forum. And they could have been addressed there and resolved. But honourable members, we are dealing with a very different company here, especially the CEO of that company. He doesn't recognise these things called Future Forum. You will sit in the Future Forum, take decisions, but when those decisions are supposed to be implemented, there's no implementation. The initiatives that we have taken after we have seen that this Future Forum is not working accordingly, hence we wrote the letters to the regional office, also to for the minister to intervene. We could see that everything is being frustrated now. There's nothing that is happening. For instance, in finances, every time you would want, can the company tell us about, present to us about finances, you will be told that, no, we can't give you those financial statements because they are not audited. And indeed, that company doesn't have an auditing firm. So since they took over, they have never presented audited financials. They will be telling you in passing to say, we've made a profit. They are making a profit of about 100 million a month. That's why they keep on telling. That is optimum only. So what was frustrating us is that every time you ask them that, can you present us a financial statement so that we can know that this company is performing well? No, that is not. And the person that is not really cooperative, the CEO, when you've got the general manager and all the other managers, they will understand what needs to happen. But come to this, the CEO, everything comes to a standstill.
I just want to make some follow up and some additions. My experience, especially you will observe these things during Section 189s. You will make an observation that from 2015, 2016. Even 2017, we had a lot of Section 189s. And one of the issues that we dealt with during the process of the Section 189, I can confirm that maybe it's a matter that ourselves and the DMR must point fingers. But we also point fingers back to the DMR that it is the responsibility of the DMR to make sure that the companies do comply. And I can raise it very openly that companies don't comply. There is no forums at the mines. There are not there. And you can understand somehow as the union, we have limitations because we don't have powers to make any enforcement. For example, in many future forums, our members ended up not even attending these future forums, because at the end of the day, if you go there and ask for the minutes of the future forums, you can then understand that the argument that the companies are putting there in the future forums, sometimes they are not valid. But for some other reasons, some of the companies, when they are financially sound and good, it is where nobody see any necessity or interest in the future forums. And then only when there are problems, it is then that we talk about the future forums. But we can raise the matter back. Can the DMR give us a database that says, in terms of our compliance, we have monitored this matter, that all the mines in this country has got future forums. And I take it that the very same department can say that. So it is one thing that we must raise, that pointing fingers sometimes is not an issue, because all of us, we are responsible. We can say that you can't shift the responsibility of future forums to unions. Let us assume there are other operations or mines where there are no trade unions. Are you saying that because in those operations there is no need for the company to comply with the future forums? Because in some instances you find that because of the competition, there is no an outright a majority union. And it means that you are saying, because it's the responsibility of trade unions, every union will be fighting for its own space. Let us be honest. These are some of the issues that you may find it less to entertain, because you are fighting for a space with other rival unions. And the situation is bad there in the mines. I can tell you, you go to big mines, we are fighting for a space. What we have time for is to recruit members. We don't have time to see whether there is a future forum. And that is the time when employers knows that as trade unions, we will never hold them for anything in terms of compliance. But at the end of the day, we don't say that it is not our responsibility, but what is the responsibility? For example, the DMR knows that there is a mine called Optimum. We can ask you, is Optimum complying with the future forum in your own compliance?
Okay, before I give honorable members, just to try and shape few issues. When I come to a meeting, I come to discuss and find a solution, not to answer questions. What I find very odd is that DMR, you are asking us a question that it is supposed to be answered by you. It goes back to the issue of probably we have to look at what are the advantages and disadvantages of having business rescue practitioner. May not be for now. We should be getting an answer that says from DMR, having intervened, we don't see the need for a business rescue practitioner, because as far as this company is concerned, it doesn't have financial challenges. That is a precondition to go for a business rescue. So we won't get that answer here if we don't get it from you. You should tell us. Two, I get worried now, and take no offense, maybe we should excuse you, because there is a transition that is unplanned that has taken place. I'm sitting here, I'm asking myself, probably this question you are asking it because you should be asking it to your principals or your superiors. It seems to me, frankly speaking, when it comes to the transaction, DMR completely can't tell us, because the question is simple: what is happening at Optimum? This is what this committee needs. I can't get that answer to say, no, sir, Optimum coal is being sold, and we are looking, at least NUM gave us a clue that they were told that now this company might be being sold to another Swiss company, which they realize later on that that Swiss company is a clothing company. At least you then get a sense. Where is DMR in the entire scheme of things that is taking place? The reason we invited you here, we wanted to ask you a question. What is happening at Optimum Coal? Two, what have you done about the situation at Optimum Coal? Have you had any interventions that you have made? So that we can, you see now, this thing is like a free-for-all. The company takes decisions, does everything, but I can't get a sense that as it takes this decision, it is taking them because in their engagement with them, that's why there's the NUM, Nopal, that's where the distinction might be with other companies. Because with the way that this is happening, the risk is exactly what had happened in Aurora. That's the issue. We understand Section 70, Section 189, where there's about retreat. The question is that if, for an example, let's be honest, if they get, those workers get Section 189, whom do they negotiate with? And how do they, can, how could they guarantee that, you know, person, the person or institution they are negotiating with is a reliable one that can be held accountable beyond the agreement if it has been reached? Now I'm saying, looking, listening to DMR, I listened to the acting chief director. Says in the process, we may need to invite also our sister department, which is Department of Labor. That's why I said, take no offense. We're just straight when we talk. I would have expected to say, Chair and honorable members, this is what is happening in this company. This is what we have done. This is what we understand to be something that was supposed to be done. On the basis of that, we have scheduled to have a meeting that will invite the Department of Labor, or to say, no, this company has not given us a notice that it seeks to, and if it has not done so, this is what is to follow. So that's why I said it's going to be difficult to give answers here as committee members to say, because I get a sense you don't want to be upfront to say there is no need for a business rescue practitioner there. And then my question will be next, what are you doing about that? They say the company, and we must be straight, the company has a problem with a banking facility. Have they told you that? Or you believe that is the case? And if that is the case, what have you done? What I'm trying to say is that, sorry, honorable members, but I thought, I don't want to be in a meeting where I can't get what I'm dealing with. And I must be honest, I appreciate the work that has been done right through this, that, but I want forthright answers. Or if those answers, is the company being, are you aware of the company being sold? Has the company engaged you to a point where it saw the need to appoint a business rescue practitioner? Have you engaged the company on its future prospects and the complaints that workers have? And finally, what are you going to do about that? The reason I was saying this, I was very skeptical when you came in, but I said, let me listen. I'm not sure whether this matter is not even beyond you. Your delegation, and again, it doesn't tell me that when we even take a decision here, we can be reliable, because you still have to go and report to so-and-so. I accept, maybe I should have said, the DG said is on paternity leave. Congratulations to him, whether it's a boy or girl, but his wife is supposed to be delivered. Sorry to say it in public, he said it himself, he didn't say his conditioner. But even beyond the DGs, there's no DDG, there is no political accounting head. We know the minister is new. Probably if the DM was here, maybe I was also not instructed. I'm also mindful of that, because this issue to me, with the way that it is happening, it may not be just a mere operational matter. It's a matter that requires even political authority, because with the uncertainty even on transaction, we may come back here next time again and talk about workers who say, yeah, you were in parliament, you didn't help us. Look now, the assets, that exactly like you say, they may not even say they stripped the assets. They will say, no, their assets were so much bad in condition that we could not do anything. They dispose of with them without the knowledge of those workers. And subsequently to that, whatever goes, we must go back to square one, where now we must look at the litigation route. We want a guarantee. But let me give it to Honorable, I will respond to those issues, but let me give it to Honorable Members. Well, I don't want us to sit here and only to find out we might be dealing with an exercise that we may require, because I'm sitting here, I'm asking myself, shouldn't we instruct them to go back and come up with concrete answers? Having met, because by now, you should have met with the, you see now, it's us who called them here. I've even heard you saying, having seen the situation there, we have gone there to them and say, what is happening? Can we deal with this thing? So that when you come back here, at least we've got something concrete. But I don't want to take decisions on behalf of the committee. My view was that probably we should go back, prepare a more concise report, which includes talking directly to those that could be possibly affected, telling us whether those directors of those companies are willing to account to you as a department. Otherwise, you might be dealing with people who don't even care or think that you exist. Do they recognize that you exist as a department? I'm just saying that, Honorable Members, can I, Honorable Pikinini, who else? Honorable Pikinini, Honorable Lorima, and then Honorable Mandel.
No, thanks, Chair, with the summary. Chair, I think we are faced with a number of issues here. Like, for instance, issue of non-compliance here. You know, the only thing that is short with it, or when. And Yenze again, when did it happen, S93, in terms of compliance? When was that? This thing happened in the 3 months period now, because we should see only in February that there was no payment in February. Now, that's why I can share a little shakule summary. Simply because that the reality here is that this non-compliance started somewhere, even if it started 2016 or 2017. But there is a date, first and foremost. And now we are in a huge crisis because there's no bank to access money. That's a cherry in the top, that one. Because you can't do business when there's no bank. And now that particular company is in a crisis. Now, as a department, what we have done about that? It became a matter. And that thing won't be answered yet, Chair. I'm telling you, we are not going to get response. Hence, you were calling those CEO to come here and account themselves. I think the bottom line here, Chair, we must go further now. There are two ways, is to call them in here, and then we deal with that CEO here. If they can't, even the rescue petition, also they must come here. You see, when people, they don't prepare to do what they're supposed to be doing, we must do it for you then. We have no other option here. So we call them here. We get all our answers that we want. I think that's the only bottom line that we have to do it. But on the other hand, it's important that about when and how, there are important questions that we must ask so that at least as a department, we know in terms of our work done, what we have done in terms of the compliance, trying to force them to do what they're supposed to be doing. I think we need to do that, Chair. The reality, when they start to sell the company, automatically now, the reality is that these things are on TV, are everywhere. We can't run away from that. So don't think that we don't know things. We see them on TV and then we can analyze it. And we can do diagnosis. You don't want to lose everything most in life. When you have a car, you don't want to lose it. You rather sell it before you lose it. That's the situation. But in reality, yeah, we are not dealing with that to expose those issues. I think that's where we are, Chair. And I really suggest that we move further and make it a point that DG and others, they must come and take accountability. Yeah. We need them. They must come and take accountability, Chair, as we understand that DG where he is now. But I think we need to make sure that there is somebody that can give us answers. I think it's important to do that, Chair. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I have to say that I agree with some of what my colleagues are saying. When I look at this, I almost feel like the delegation here from the DMR are sacrificial lambs. They don't seem to be the people who are making the decisions, and yet they've been sent here. We need to see the DG. I would even go so far as to say we need to consider asking people who were there at the time, who were the officials. The former acting DG, perhaps he should come because he was there. Because the question that I have throughout all this is, where was the DMR? We were told that the DMR does not want to see an irresponsible sale. Well, I wish they'd thought that when the mine was sold to Tegeta. I think it was obvious from very early on, certainly to the union, that the new owners were not being serious about compliance. So I think it's very important that we need to know every interaction that the DMR had with Tegeta from the beginning. I want to know when they started raising these issues and what the response was. I can't believe it's taken almost 2 years, and only now is the DMR starting to swing into action. Now they're starting to ask questions. Where were they before? Did they take action? Well, I want to see. We do this, Mr. Chair, in my opinion, because there are two things we're looking at here. One is what has happened in the last 2 years, the historical record. Now, we don't just want to take revenge against people. We want to find out what happened to stop it from happening again. Because the livelihoods of a lot of people are at risk here. We also want to know what's going to happen next. And I think that's very important. And this brings me to the argument that the big problem is only that Tegeta doesn't have a bank account. I don't buy that at all. If the mine is indeed or has made $2.3 billion, that's gone somewhere. Every month, when they've been selling coal to Eskom, where's the money gone? If there's no bank account, how are they handling that? And if they can handle money coming in, why all of a sudden can they not handle money going out? I think also it's clear that the bank account story is not a full story, because it was obvious right from the word go when they took over the mine that they were not prepared to spend money on anything. They were running away from doing their SLPs, and they were not spending money on the mine. So I think right from the beginning, it's clear that they went in to take out as much as they can. And the workers now, and the contractors, and everybody who's been working for the mine are potential casualties. So we've got to try and make sure that as little damage is done as possible. So I would support very much that the department does need to come back with other officials, people who can answer all the questions. I mean, I haven't even got into the rehabilitation funds, which the department, according to the record, has flat out lied about. They were asked, has Tegeta tried to access these funds? They said no. Even after there's a letter from the department saying, yes, in principle, they agree that they can access these funds. There's a lot of questions to answer about that. Whether the officials here are the best people to answer that, I doubt. As I say, I think they've been sent here, and that they can't really answer a lot of those questions. So I think we need to follow this up, and quickly, with another meeting where we have the people who can answer the questions in front of us.
Thank you, Chair. We're residing with a lot of uncertainties here. Workers have been paid. only for February. Sure. What happens as we enter a new month, March, April, May, and so on? What guarantees are being put in place by the business practitioner or by the business rescuer? What is the optimum coal mine guaranteeing the workers going forward? These uncertainties need to be dealt with, and the department needs to ensure that it's able to hold optimum accountable for their commitments, particularly to the laborers. But also, Chair, should the situation of optimum be irretractable, what provisions has been made in terms of social plan to mitigate the pending suffering and the hardships for mine workers and their families? I'd like to also know, Honorable Chair, through you, what is the status of negotiations between the mine owners, the workers, and the unions themselves in order to ensure that we can mitigate through these issues? What is the social, political, and economic impact should the optimum mine shut down be on the cards? What's the reality that we are likely to face should optimum, when workers in March or in April are anticipating to be paid, it goes beyond a business rescue and it's calling for a shutdown? Lastly, Chair, what mitigation and risk prevention measures have been deployed in the event of a shutdown at Optimum to avoid the disaster we faced with Aurora? We've been through this before. Looting of assets and the neglect and at the expense of workers. How can we avoid that? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Do you want to have a take? Yes, DMR.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I'm Advocate Sabisa Kheto, Acting Regional Manager of Mpumalanga, my permanent position being Deputy Director under Mineral Laws. In relation to the mine in a process of being sold, the DMR can confirm that we are not aware of that. What we can confirm is that we had a meeting with the CEO on the 21st of February, where he indicated the intentions to sell the mine. However, processes require that whenever that happens, as that happened from Glencore to Tegeta, a Section 11 application be lodged with the department so that the minister can consent to that. As such, we can confirm that no such application has been submitted to the department. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. We have had the consents, and we can respond that as a department, we have not engaged that far, except for the meeting that happened in the last week. And based on that, we know that the committee of the board was in the process of calling a meeting, and we will take the message back for them to have that meeting urgently to avoid the disaster that is about to happen. And I agree that most of the questions, we may not be able to answer them here today, and we will try to, as soon as we are called back, to come with the answers that the committee needs. But we have noted all the concerns.
A question was asked, what can we do to avoid the situation at Optima? I think the minute we get a shareholder that will be able to run that mine accordingly, that have banking facilities, then the problems at Optima are gone. And the impact, if Optimum can shut down tomorrow, Optimum is supplying coal to Hendrina Power Station. That will negatively affect a Hendrina Power Station. And that will mean electricity in the whole country will be affected. So it's a huge impact that the shutting of Optimum can cause really problems for not only for Optimum employees. Of course, Optimum employees will be negatively affected, but other people that are around there and even everyone in the country will be negatively affected. So the sooner we resolve that problem of Optimum, then the better. I'm glad that DMRF also mentioned that they haven't received any application from the company. And when the CEO was asked in the meeting that, because he communicated to us last year, around about October or September, that the mine is being sold. He also confirmed just recently that even a deposit has been given. So you ask yourself a question, why is the department not yet been informed up to now? So that will tell you, even this, as employees, we've got a concern that even this so-called sale of the mine might really be a fake, and you end up in the situation that we are in, you're being sold to someone that doesn't even have a background of mining for starters, and that might happen that it's just an extension of the same company that now they have just shifted this company and give it to someone. So we'll appreciate if the community can really assist us in this so that we cannot find ourselves in the same situation that we are in come next year, 2019. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was hoping that I was going to get answers, because for me, what I see for the province is a disaster. The unfortunate part is that we don't have a legal framework as a province to do anything. We are heavily relying to the National Department, DMR. I hope, Chair, that as you continue to engage, I thought that because part of the problem is that even ourselves as a province, we watch this thing on TV, there is no even curtis from anyone who just say this is what is happening in your space, in the provincial government or municipality and so on, so that we are able to prepare. But we love, Chair, that as this matters unfold moving forward, we are kept within the loop so that we can prepare ourselves, because when these things happen, as Honorable Mandela was indicating, they come squarely to the fiscals of the province. We must carry the burden as a province at the end of the day, because those people are offloaded to the communities and so on. So we're hopeful that, Chair, as the process unfolds, we'll also be given an opportunity and a space to see how it unfolds, the whole situation, so that we can plan in time as a province what challenges we might be facing if this thing go the other way. Otherwise, Chair, that I was hoping that because the Executive Council or the Cabinet was worried, because when this thing happened, they blocked the road which belongs to the province. They banned properties which are built by the province. So all other things which they respond into, it affects the province in terms of all our, you can call it in terms of properties and also the stability in the province itself, whereas we can't do anything as a province. We just have to watch. We can't intervene. When we intervene, what do you say to them? Because we can't give an answer that this is what is going to happen and so on. And of course, on my engagement with the minister and the deputy minister, I was told that the regional are hands-on on the matter, they're dealing with the matter, they can give me answers. But later I see that there is no such, probably as you have said, that maybe it needs also political engagement and higher office to engage on this matter so that it's taken serious, because I can see that the answers we've been told are not forthcoming. in terms of coming with a solution on the matter immediately. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just, it's worrying and very alarming, Honorable Chair, the impact this might have not only on workers at Optima, but on the area and the surrounding areas of Mpumalanga. And I'm actually concerned on the actual impact that Hendrina Power Station will actually have. And if NUM can speak to the impact on Hendrina Power Station due to the crisis at Optima. Does it affect generation of electricity? And does it affect Eskom's ability to supply power around the country? I have read in the news, Honorable Chair, that there are challenges in terms of Hendrina reservoirs itself. So I would like to ascertain if is it true that Hendrina reservoir is running empty or has been empty for days, if not weeks. And if so, why is this so? And what relief measures have been put in place to avert disaster? What is the impact of this on mine operation and the impact on the mine workers? That's a wrap from me, Chair. Thank you.
NUM?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I mean, for someone will even think that this is a story, there's no truth in this. There's this thing that has been created by the shareholders now. One, due to them not being able to pay the creditors, Honorable Mandela, we've got a water plant that was built by a consortium of Ekteke. Then it was handed over to Glencore. It was successfully continuing to send the water to the labor sending communities. Up until now, November, when there was a problem of some of the creditors not being paid, then there was no service rendered to the company. That water plant was stopped, and there was no water going to either Hendrina municipality and the neighbor there is Kwazamokuhle and Pulenso. Then there was an interim arrangement from the municipality that they should send the water tanks. People couldn't relate good to that. As a result, one of these JoJo tanks was found with a dead dog. They threw in the dead dog. Imagine if that was true while there was still water inside there. So you can imagine the impact that this uncertainty has created there. Secondly, with the power supply to the neighbor, Hendrina and Kwazamokuhle and Pulenzop, indeed we are the only one that are so close that are supplying coal to Hendrina Power Station. And in the absence of Optimum supplying that, obviously we are running for a total power failure there. Thirdly, you raised that the community. As we speak now, as a result of the clinic that hasn't been handed over, our march has been supported by all affected community members from Hendrina, Kwazamokuhle, and Pulenzop. And as you saw maybe in the news, everyone was on the street. There was a traffic jam at N11. Tires were burned. Policies were firing some of these rubber bullets. Imagine if maybe it got worse. It could have been so disastrous in a way that it can't it get out of control. Lastly, Chairperson, In fact, my focus has been redirected here. The existence of the business rescue, I think maybe should be a way forward here. We as the union, we see that there's no need, in fact, for the appointment of the business rescue. The current shareholders, they must just accept that they can't run that company out of in the absence of a banking facility. So we like to have an assistant, maybe from the DMR or any party that can assist to stop this business practitioner from even existing or prolonging the state, I mean the company, from stealing more money from that company. And some of them, I'm so worried, maybe if the law does allow a fugitive to put its own company into rescue. Thank you.
Okay. Before we make a summary, your last word, Nopal.
Yeah, I think what I can raise to the committee is that the impact of Optimum is huge. We must remind, maybe the MEC is aware, we must remind that at Arnott, we don't have an operational, we don't have a mine that supply Arnott. And the impact then is, in Arnott there was retrenchment, workers were retrenchment from the mine site, the power station is still there. Part of Optimum, it was also supplying the very Arnott. So the impact is very huge, because if Optimum is affected, it means two power stations are going to be affected. Arnott is going to be affected. Henrina Power Station is going to be affected. And both the operations, they do have employees, they do have contractors that are supplying in those operations. So we just wanted to raise the issue, which says that to us, Optimum is one of the mines that we hope that it must be taken care of, looking at the situation in Mpumalanga. But notwithstanding the fact that we do have operations that are affected, like your current fontaine, your Brakfontein, and we take it that as the department, as the ministerial committee is directing the DMR to go back. And we will work hand in glove with them. We do have the expectation, like the MECs mentioned, from the NUM side. We also want to be kept on the loop. We also want to be involved. And like the Honorable Mandela, when was raising the issue that the key role players from the DMR, from the management side, if it is the business practitioners, they come. We also want to come and listen, so that we give feedback to the members that we represent in all the operations. Because from NUM, we are having a duty to go to Kurenfontein, Brakfontein, Optimum, and tell them that what is the situation. Are they safe? Are their job guaranteed? Or are they going to lose the job? And obviously, out of this meeting, irrespective, they are going to ask us to come back to them and give them a response as to what is the likelihood of their job losses.
Thanks, Chair. We are committed to work with all the role players to ensure that we avert this crisis. And normally we work with all, including the unions. Even on the one of the 2015, we worked with the unions, and even in this one, we're not going to leave them out. And we'll also work with the municipality and everybody that is involved, and other government departments like your DTI that is responsible for the BRP, and others that have already been mentioned. And thanks for the opportunity. Thanks.
Okay, honorable members, can we, let me start on this one, and your Nopala is going to be difficult. Although as a committee we have set aside that we'll have a day or more dealing with the issue of the, what do you have, that agreement that you had as social partners.
around mitigation against job losses. So that is the first part. The difficulty with, because here the reason we said we accepted this invitation so urgently was because the letter from the leadership of NUM at that level was about certainty, which is now confirmed by DMR that is something that themselves they don't know. It could have taken another time if they said, like you say, yes, there is that letter from NUM in terms of Section 189 in Evander gold mine. But it's a Section 189 which is not saying we don't know who is our employer now. That is, I think we must be able to draw that distinction. We will still have to find a way. How do we handle issues that relate to job losses and the application of Section 189, and then say, how do you attend it? But also, in doing so, managing the relationship between a legislature and the executive, so that we don't jump and then tomorrow the executive, the department ask us, oh, you are now even negotiating retrenchments of workers without us. The duty from a committee's point of view is to hold the executive to account. So we will deal with that issue with the department where there are job losses in data looming without exempting the employers to say, can you account on this? And on the basis of that, to engage. Here, there is a matter of public interest, and you can see the more we are dealing with it, is the more it's becoming scary. We are now no longer even dealing with, we look at the consequences. The consequences, they seem to be dire, beyond the fact that those were, and I was sitting here saying, okay, let's leave the, look at the creditors. We don't even know how many, the leadership, your leadership there, says those who are from the suppliers or the contractors. The last time that we played was said in October, ne? September, October. Now, as we are sitting here, this is a company, mine, that is supplying coal to Eskom. Eskom wakes up in the morning and say the contract is off, you have not complied. Leave whether you've got someone who's prepared to take over. So they just said, no, you have not complied, this doesn't exist. Then you are told you are busy negotiating, there's a mine rescue practitioner, you wake up in the morning again, the assets are gone. And they come and say, but Aurora happened in front of you, it's still repeating itself. So I think it would have been better if we were dealing with a Section 189, because then we will know what we are dealing with. Can we then agree on this? One, DMR, next week you come here. You tell us exactly what we asked. What do you know about the situation in Optimum Coal? Are there any cases that you know that that are similar to the case in Optimum Coal? Three, what is it that you have done as a department? Four, is there a need for a business rescue practitioner now? If so, what has to be done? Five or six, have you met with the directors
Because when you give a license, you don't give the license to a CEO, nor a business rescue practitioner. You give it to people who claim to be owners. So, have you called the owners of the mine? And what is the feedback? 6, 7, 8. No. I can't. My fingers are working. I'll go even take off my shoes. If I go beyond 10, I'll take off my shoes. That's number 8. Number 8. Is the company, to your knowledge and research, being sold? Nine. How many workers or employees will be affected in the event this company goes down? Ten. What collateral? I had members, they talked about, don't want to go that route only. They talked about the rehabilitation funds and so forth. What collateral that is there in the event this company, this mine or company were to go under? Then we will write to the, we said, we just sympathize that the minister is new, but the DG is not that new. At the center, NB, nota bene, we want senior management, including this DG. At least that time will be telling us whether it's a baby girl or a boy. But we want people whom can take liability and responsibility when they're in this committee. That is what we want now. I'm going to what we want. We want your senior, even political authority. That's why we'll write to the minister. Two, we want when you come back here, tell us if you met with all the affected parties. That includes labor. When I say labor, it doesn't mean only NUM. We don't want to wake up in the morning and say, but there was NUM. The reason we explain why this time it has been NUM. Have you met with labor and other affected stakeholders? And then you'll give us a feedback on those engagements. That could include the cost implications. We don't even know how much, if we were to say these people must pay tomorrow, don't even know how much is that. So at least it can give us some element of certainty about the future. Is there any other matter that I'm leaving, honorable members? No. I finished that one, so I was adding on the other issues what we want, not on the basis of what they have to do. So be careful. Honorable Lorim?
What I'm still left with is uncertainty about what happens next. Does the mine keep functioning tomorrow, next week? What happens to the water in Hendrina? And who's going to tell us this? I'm unsure who's supposed to be coordinating this thing. Is anybody? There's a crisis going on, and there doesn't seem to be anybody in charge, or am I missing something?
Yeah, some board who's in charge is the Department of Mineral Resources. That's why I gave them all those tasks. It's for them to go, for an example, I can advise them now that amongst other things, they must even consider engaging public enterprise. I'm just saying it's up to them. They must consider, like they said, engaging the Department of Labor. But they, if they need be, because if they want us, because we also don't want to overstretch our mandate and enter a terrain that is not ours, if they want us to even drag those, that CEO, that, because I can, with their explanation that there is no basis for a business rescue practitioner, I can sit here now and say, if it includes that business rescue practitioner. That's why I said they must explain, is there a justification for an appointment of the business rescue? They must answer that question when they come back. If they say no, what then are they doing or could be done to put aside the issue? If they say, they must then say, no, we went to court. I'm just making an example. We're of the view, we're dealing with the matter in court because we believe the business rescue practitioner is an irrelevant person at this moment. I'm just saying, it's not for us to answer on behalf of the department. They will answer when they're here. But they can say, no, we don't see the need of the business rescue practitioner, but there's nothing we can do. Then that is the issue as members, we have to deal with it. That's why I said it can only be a senior person that must, I made an example, I said the DG will have to be here. But if they come back, it's an urgent matter. This one, we can't hide it. By the way, as we talk, you say, if the company operates, the fact of the matter, to the best of my knowledge, the strike has not ended. It's on. So there's nothing that is happening. But at the same time, as we are sitting here, we don't know what is the next decision that is taken. You see, if that business rescue practitioner comes and says, no, because you don't have, I'm just making an example, you don't have a bank account in any way, so the best thing is sell, is we've already sold this thing to, then DMR will come and say, but we don't know that information and so forth. So we have to be proactive. Consequential issues, unfortunately, the MEC is here, is telling us, it says, all these things that are happening, at the end of the day, it is not the national parliament or the national departments that are affected. It's the province. Because the roads that are affected, they say, it said N1, N11, yeah. They say N11 is a national road. The MEC says, no, it's our roads that are being affected. It's us who must reconstruct those roads. There is a problem of a looming water crisis. There is a problem of a looming power outage. The issues that, as a consequence of this, that are piling up, they might be even worse next time when they come. So can we then allow the department to go back? Now they know what we want. But we say, it is up to you because you've got an authority. That's why I said I'm worried. So that you can tell us, we have not met the directors, we have not met the CEO, because the business rescue practitioner has got so much powers that he has instructed that he shouldn't meet with the department, or they shouldn't meet with the department because the business rescue has got all these powers. We want, you must say it yourselves when you come back. But we will write to the department, what do we want, all these issues, and say we want them here next week. And we are even considering, if it needs be, that we apply for the full day, even if there is plenary that is happening. But on the issues, Nopala, that you've raised, as I said, we are not ignoring them. We are not ignoring them because, obviously, no one can celebrate when you have got more than 1,000 workers that might lose their jobs. But in this case, I'm not saying retrenchment. Any pain is pain, but sometimes the degree of a pain. Sometimes workers that are under Section 189, they can get something going home. So they grieve, but they are losing their jobs, they go home. The worst case scenario is when someone every day wakes up and go to work, and then at the end of the day is told, go home, there is nothing that you will get. You have not been paid. Honorable Mandela made that point, of which Honorable Orim, I can say it with the submission here. There is no guarantee that those that have been paid in February will be paid in March. You see, sometimes retrenchment is no bala could mean you will be paid every month until you are retrenched, your job comes to an end. In this case, there is no guarantee. But the worst thing is that there are other workers, because those that you are talking to are those that are permanently employed. There are other workers that are recognized by law to be workers, employees of the entity. Those workers have not been paid since. They have not been paid since October or September. If that is true, no one has disputed that for now, that no, it's not true. So we talk about what we have. That's why I said, any person who decides not to appear in the short term, then must bear the consequences, because the truth that we know is what we are told here. So that person could have been here to rebut the information that we are having. So we can't sit then and say, let there be March, let there be April, still those workers have no... That will take you to almost 6 months. Very closer, because I was told in Aurora, although I was not here, I was told in Aurora it was almost 7 to 8 months when workers were not paid. We don't want to go that route anymore. So I think that is the priority that we are giving. Can we then, if honorable members agree, honorable Jaft?
Thank you, sir. I think in responding on what honorable Lorima has been saying, sir, we need to come up clear that we are leaving it with DMR to bring anyone or anyone yes. to answer for himself or for herself to the questions that they cannot answer as the department, so that they go out here very clear that it is on their shoulders to bring any, if they feel, they may invite also the management of the Optimum, they do so. It's not ours. Ours is to do oversight over the department for now.
Okay. It's agreed. Honorable members, thank you very much. Let's go to the minutes. Zipisbong. Okay. Can I not hijack members if they agree with me? Because if you read the minutes now, even if it's for 5, you can give them, but I'm not saying don't give them. Can we give you the minutes, Honorable?